So yesterday we were discussing the Bhakti Kalpataru, or the desire tree of devotional service. And it is said that Lord Chaitanya himself became the tree. He became the gardener also. After all, he's the Supreme Lord. He also became the main trunk of the tree. And it was Madhavendra Puri who became the main root of the tree. And then there were other roots. There were 9 roots, 9 sannyasis, including Paramananda Puri and Kesava Bharati. And we discussed how Paramananda Puri was so extraordinary and how he was none other than Uddhava, Krishna's close friend in Dwarka. And we discussed how Kesava Bharati was none other than Sandipani Muni, the teacher of Krishna, who now again was in the role of a guru, of a teacher. So, in this way, we were looking at the parallel between the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and how the same personalities appear again. After having been with Krishna, they're also there with Lord Chaitanya. These are the parisat, or the eternal associates of the Lord. And they appear again and again in this world with the Lord in his various pastimes. Then, it was mentioned in our readings yesterday that the seed of devotional service first sprouted in Madhavendra Puri. And so Madhavendra Puri is truly the origin of the entire tree. It is said then he is the main, he is the seed, then Paramananda Puri becomes the main root, Lord Chaitanya the trunk, Nityananda and Jayadvaita and Advaita Acharya are sort of spreading from that trunk, right? Like 2 main branches, and then from these branches, so many other branches appear. And then Prabhupada says in the purport, and ISKCON is a branch of the Chaitanya tree. So today I wanted to speak about Madhavendra Puri. About Madhavendra Puri being such a devotee who was so extraordinary, because there was no one like him. He did not have an example of who he could exactly become like, because Madhavendra Puri appeared in the Madhva Sampradaya, and the Madhva Sampradaya is one of the 4 bona fide Vaishnav Sampradayas mentioned in the Padma Purana. And it is stated that the Madhva Sampradaya is accepting Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, as the Supreme. And they accept Krishna, but they see Krishna as an incarnation of Vishnu. So there's a little difference there. And there are other differences. So, therefore, we see that in Udupi, the headquarters of Madhvacharya, it is said the deity that was personally installed by Madhvacharya was the deity of Krishna. And that deity of Krishna came in an extraordinary way, because it is said that once Madhvacharya helped a ship that was in great trouble, in very strong winds, and the ship was trying to get to the shore, and Madhvacharya was giving signals to the captain of what route to sail, so that they wouldn't get run onto the cliffs that are there, or on the banks. In this way, the ship was saved, and the owner was very pleased, and the captain wanted to reward Madhvacharya, wanted to give him a gift. So So Madhavacharya said, no, no, that's fine, that's fine. He didn't really want a gift. So finally he said, well, just give me some tilak, right? So the ship came from Dwarka and was having a block, a huge block of tilak on board. So they gave him this enormous block of tilak. And but then in the block of tilak, there was this deity of Krishna. So in this way, Krishna came. And Krishna was worshipped. And Krishna then was... Krishna was installed. But still, the understanding, as was being taught in the Madhva Sampradaya, was Vishnu is supreme. Vishnu is the original personality. And then Krishna an avatar. But Madhavendra Puri did not have that understanding. Madhavendra Puri had a complete understanding that Krishna was the supreme personality of Godhead. And as such, he was the it was different. So in a way, Madhavendra Puri is a mysterious person. He is also in the Madhava Sampradaya. They are saying that, but how could Madhavendra Puri anyway be in the Madhava Sampradaya? After all, he is a Puri, and we don't have Puris. We have only Tirthas, right, in our Sampradaya. We don't have Puris. So how could he be in the Madhava Sampradaya? Some have argued. Of course, we can say that one could argue that, well, maybe he took initiation from Madhvacharya and sannyas from someone else. And in this way, took sannyas from a sannyasi who had the title Puri, like that. That would explain. So, whatever may be, we accept, of course, that he is the disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha. Lakshmipati Tirtha as a Puri disciple. Yes? Why not? And that Madhavendra Puri was such an extraordinary devotee. In the Madhava Mat in Udupi, records are being kept of the Sampradaya coming down from Madhvacharya. And if one looks at those records, then they are nicely kept, one spiritual master after the other, but they don't match with the list that you find in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita there, that opening page in Prabhupada's Gita. Mm-mm. It's a different list of names. So, how to deal with this? What is that? Well, it is not so complicated. In fact, it is said that there was a branch of the Madhava, of Madhvacharya, that was running a mutt in Belgaum. And this mutt in Belgaum had its own disciplic succession. And in that disciplic succession, we find a list which matches ours. So, after all, at least the connection is there. One worry less. Madhvacharya was extraordinary because he was worshipping Krishna. Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We find Madhvacharya seated at the foot of Govardhan, at Govindakund, and we find him there, deeply absorbed in his chanting of the holy name. So much so that he would not let anything, anything in this world interfere with that chanting. The vow of Madhav and the Puri is something else. Okay, just we wait for a second. It's not champagne. So let us for a moment concentrate and meditate and think of Madhavendra Puri and his vow. His vow was basically not to make any arrangement for anything to eat. Why? Why such a vow? That vow was not followed by him in the mood of austerity. It was not being performed from, let me do some extraordinary austerity. I will not make any arrangements for anything to eat. No, that was not it. That was not it. You know, if you think of it, all problems start with eating. Yeah? It's because we have to eat that we have to work. Yeah? And then you need a cook. Yeah? And then, you know, and so on, and before you know it, it's a huge entanglement, and it takes away time from the essential activity. And that was the mood of Madhavendra Puri, who did not want to take away any time from glorifying Krishna. He did not want to, for one moment, just stop his chanting. So therefore, he wasn't going to bother with anything else. He just let it go. He renounced it. Said, I leave it up to Krishna, these things. I will only chant. So, definitely, if we think about that for a moment, we can realize how deep his level of Krishna consciousness was. His chanting was not the chanting of a sadhaka. His chanting was not the chanting of a devotee in practice, who was trying to get purified and practiced his chanting day by day, trying to become more fixed up like most of us. His chanting was the chanting of one who was relishing the glorification of Krishna, who was hopelessly attached to glorifying Krishna, and could simply not stop for a moment in that activity. So then that kind of consciousness, it is that kind of consciousness is the kind of consciousness that attracts Krishna. When you are looking at the Bhakti Ratnakar, it's an interesting book. It's a book about the history of our acharyas and of what happened kind of immediately after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes on this planet. And it describes the six Goswamis, and you will see descriptions of how they were attracting Krishna with their devotional service. And that Krishna was personally coming to them. That Krishna was appearing from time to time before them and dealing with them. So we find the very same description about Madhavendra Puri. We see that Krishna came. Krishna came with that pot of milk. Oh, who are you? Oh, I am from the village here, and the lady sent me over to bring some milk. They saw that you were fasting, and they sent me here with some milk. At all, that is very nice. He said, yes, please take it, because in our village no one fasts. In the spiritual world, who fasts? Yeah. In our village, no one fasts. And then Madhavendra Puri was asked to return that pot of milk. He should keep the pot, and the boy said that later he would come to collect it, but he never came. Then later Madhavendra Puri had a dream, and in that dream, the same boy appeared. And he said that for so long I've been lying here in the bushes, buried in the hot sand, and you please come and save me from this situation. And in this way, Madhavendra Puri, when he woke up, he realized, first of all, that he had seen Krishna, who brought him a pot of milk. Krishna had personally come. And the second thing was, he realized that Krishna had given him an assignment and wanted him to go and save that deity form, which he did. He went with the villagers and they dug out the deity, and then he installed the deity on Govardhan Hill, and he worshipped the deity there very nicely. Well, there are some more stories. The deity was still feeling very hot. The deity came again in a dream, and then wanted sandalwood to cool down its body, and Madhavendra Puri was going to Jagannath Puri to collect sandalwood. There usually they kept a large stock of sandalwood, and Madhavendra Puri went on the entire journey from Vrindavan to bring that sandalwood. So on the way he passed through Ramuna, and that's where I'll start reading. Pate bade bade dani vikna nahi kare tasavare kripa kare aila nimunane. There were many rivers on the way, and at each river there was a tax collector. They did not hinder the Lord, however, and he showed them mercy. Finally, he reached the village of Ramuna. The deity of Gopinath in temple at Ramuna was very attractive. Lord Chaitanya visited the temple and offered his obeisances with great devotion. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his obeisances at the lotus feet of the Gopinath deity, the helmet of flowers on the head of Gopinath fell down and landed on the head of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the deity's helmet fell upon his head, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very pleased, and thus he chanted and danced in various ways with his devotees. All the servants of the deity were struck with wonder due to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intense love, his exquisite beauty, and his transcendental qualities. Because of their love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they served him in many ways, and that night the Lord stayed at the temple of Gopinath. The Lord remained there because he was very eager to receive the remnants of sweet rice offered to the Gopinath deity. Having heard a narration from his spiritual master, Ishvara Puri, of what had once happened there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to that place, which was the place where Madhavendra Puri came, and we may recall how Madhavendra Puri was taking darshan and how he saw this special sweet rice that was being offered there in the temple. So this sweet rice, it is known as Amrita Keli. Amrita Keli means, Amrita means nectar, and Keli is a play of nectar on the tongue. So this is very extraordinary sweet rice, and the way it's made is one keeps on, well, let me begin. First of all, there are some people who think sweet rice, making sweet rice, is just a matter of taking some rice, put it in milk, boil it for a little while, and some sugar, and it's done. One rice, two sugar, 16 milk. Then you have to stir for a long time until, not only until the rice is cooked, you keep on stirring until the rice and the milk merge, right? Until it becomes one substance. The worst thing is sweet rice where the milk is on the top and the rice is sunk to the bottom. That's not sweet rice. Okay, whatever it is, that's a failure. Back to the kitchen. God, hopeless stuff. It must be stirred for a long time. But this Amrita Keli is something else, right? When you come to the point where it actually gets like a paste like that, then what they do, they add more milk. And they keep on stirring it again. Until that boils down also. And meanwhile, the rice keeps on boiling. And in the end, the rice just disappears altogether. It just merges with the paste and it becomes just one paste. Let it cool down and you have Amrita Keli, a few spices and so on. And there it is. And they have pots of it in Ramuna, lots of it. And they are being offered there. Offered there to the deity. So Madhavendra Puri, when he was there and he knew about this extraordinary sweet rice, he was wondering what the recipe was. And he was thinking, what would it taste like? But it hadn't been offered yet. So at that point he considered himself an offender. And it is said that then he immediately left that temple. But the deity, later in the night, came in the dream of the pujari and told him to get up and said that he had stolen a pot of sweet rice for his devotee Madhavendra Puri. So the pujari quickly got up, took a bath very fast, then went to the temple and went on the altar and found the sweet rice. Went into the market, called out loud, "Where is Madhavendra Puri? Where is Madhavendra Puri?" Gave him that sweet rice. And then Madhavendra Puri took it and ate it all, and which is the spirit. And then he kept the pot, he crushed the pot, and every day he was eating a piece of the pot as well. And he quickly left that place because people might start talking, and that he didn't desire. So in this way, Madhavendra Puri, again, proved to be an extraordinary devotee. We see that he ate the pot. That we would not have done. We would have licked the pot, maybe three times, and then sort of give the rest out of mercy to the dogs and the monkeys, right? But Madhavendra Puri ate it. He ate that pot to every bite because it was a gift of the Supreme Lord. So in these kind of things, in this kind of eagerness to appreciate mercy of the Lord, one can recognize the great devotee. When Lord Chaitanya came to that place and personally remembered these past times, Lord Chaitanya became extremely ecstatic, and all the devotees were overwhelmed with ecstasy. Thinking of Madhavendra Puri was giving great pleasure to Lord Chaitanya. Now, I said earlier that Madhavendra Puri is a mysterious personality. He is. And for one reason or other, we find that in the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, which is the book that describes who is who in Chaitanya Lila, and who they are in Krishna Lila, the name of Madhavendra Puri is not there. Okay? So no identity is given of Madhavendra Puri in Krishna Lila. And in fact, who is Madhavendra Puri? Who is he that he has such love of God? How is it possible that it manifested in him before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? If, as we are chanting, Namo Mahavananyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Trisunamaha, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being worshipped for freely distributing what was never distributed before, namely love of God. But Madhavendra Puri already did it before. So how is this that Madhavendra Puri was able to do it before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Whereas we thought that this was the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a mystery. And that mystery may puzzle the mind of different devotees. It certainly puzzled my mind for quite some time. This question was sort of lying on a shelf in my mind. And then one day, I was reading the Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, which is the first biography about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu written by Murari Gupta. And then I found something very interesting in that biography. Namely, that it said there that Madhavendra Puri, it said first of all that in Bengal, many of the disciples of Madhavendra Puri started to settle in Navadvip, such as Advaita Acharya, Pundarik Vijayanidhi. And it said, then some description came about Madhavendra Puri, and then it described that Madhavendra Puri was a Shakti Avesh avatar of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That explained everything. That explained where Madhavendra Puri got that extraordinary quality of Krishna consciousness from. He got it from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after all. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was manifesting himself through him. A Shakti Avesh avatar, so it is described, is a jiva, a living being, who becomes divinely empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And not only empowered with pure devotional service. Any pure devotee is empowered. But a Shakti Avesh avatar is more empowered than a pure devotee. It said, a Shakti Avesh avatar is not only empowered with pure devotion, but he is also empowered with a special ability to perform a great mission. So in this way, Madhavendra Puri performed this extraordinary mission of first of all establishing this unalloyed pure devotional service to Krishna. And we remember that at the end of his life, he was served by two disciples. One was Ishvara Puri, the other one Ramachandra Puri. Ishvara Puri served him very nicely, and Ramachandra Puri was critical. It is said that, let me just read that verse because it's very nice. Ai dina dayar danata he, matura nata karavaloka kyase, ridayam tvadaloka kataram, daita brahmyati kim karumiyaham. Oh my Lord, oh my merciful Master, oh Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. Oh, most beloved one, what shall I do now? What shall I do now? So it is said this was the mood of Madhavendra Puri at the end of his life. The mood of separation of Krishna. When he says, Master of Mathura, okay, we're thinking of Mathura Mandal. Mathura Mandal means Vrindavan, the whole area of Vrindavan. And he showed that mood of separation. And of course, Ramachandra Puri criticized him at that time and said, why are you lamenting? Why are you lamenting? You should be transcendental. You should just be unaffected. You should just be absorbed in Brahman. Then Madhavendra Puri got really fried. Said, like, you know, get out of here, you know. And he sent him away and said, like, on my deathbed, you know, I have to go through this. Someone telling me to focus on Brahman. His mood was the mood of separation. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Ramuna and remembering the whole story of Madhavendra Puri and how Madhavendra Puri got that sweet rise and everything, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstasy, then He just at one point began to recite that verse, Ayidina, Ayidina. He couldn't get any further than that. He just called out, Ayidina, Ayidina, Ayidina. And then he cried tears of ecstasy. So much Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could identify with Madhavendra Puri. So Ishvara Puri, Ishvara Puri was the humble servant. Although Madhavendra Puri was such an extraordinary devotee, in his final days he was not spared from hardship. It wasn't that Krishna was just making it all easy for his pure devotee. It is said that in the end of his life, he became practically paralyzed. And therefore, stool and so on was coming out of his body, and he needed to be cleansed of that. And Ishvara Puri was just cleansing his body and in this way serving his spiritual master with great dedication. And then Ishvara Puri became the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's interesting because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, unlike us, is not limited in his choice of spiritual master. He can choose anyone he wants for his spiritual master. Many of us present here, can see a parallel with the situation in our society, where the famous Acharya is Srila Prabhupada, and who initiated so many disciples, and these days, it becomes more and more rare for Prabhupada disciples to be present. And then there are so many devotees who are disciples of the next generation. So it's interesting how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu missed the famous Acharya, the famous Madhavendra Puri, the great Acharya who was like the recognized great Acharya of his time. It is said that in Chaitanya Bhagavad it is described how Madhavendra Puri was roaming around the planet in ecstatic love of God, and he did not ever meet anyone who had the same love of God he had. He was just alone in his relationship with Krishna until the day he met Lord Nityananda. The day he met Lord Nityananda, Madhavendra Puri saw Nityananda, and he saw the ecstasy in Nityananda, and Nityananda saw Madhavendra Puri, and he saw the ecstasy in Madhavendra Puri. And somehow or other, they embraced. And in that embrace, they fell on the ground, rolled on the ground, kicked, and just went beyond themselves. Because for the first time now, they met someone who was as filled with love of God as they were themselves. Such a person was Madhavendra Puri. And that Madhavendra Puri, who had such extraordinary love of God, he did not become the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Ishvara Puri became the spiritual master. Ishvara Puri, whose particular qualification was his service attitude. Ishvara Puri, whose fame was that he was a humble servant. So by accepting Ishvara Puri as his spiritual master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was highlighting that attitude of being the humble servant. That is my guru, right? The humble servant. And he is the guru. And for all to see, the guru of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is like Lord Chaitanya is the is the founder of the Sankirtan movement as it exists. Lord Chaitanya, he set so many standards. Sometimes we may wonder why are we worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev in our sampradaya? Aren't we just focused on Krishna? And isn't Lord Nrisimhadev kind of another mood, another form? And said, yeah, but for protection. Yeah, but doesn't Krishna protect? Isn't Krishna protecting his devotees all the time? Doesn't he kill so many demons? Isn't Krishna constantly protecting? So, if that question is answered, there may be different answers one could give to it, that one could try to historically trace it back. But the first answer that we give is simple, and the first answer is because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped in Sri Vidya. Finished. That's it. And that's the answer. Because he did. He went to Simhachalam. He went to Ahobilam in South India. He visited these places. He worshipped Lord Nrisimhadev. Then that settles that. Every day when we are offering bhoga, we are chanting certain mantras. And we chant mantra glorifying Lord Chaitanya who distributed Krishna praying. And then we are chanting the mantra Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Chantagati Taya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namah. And why that mantra? Because it's a nice mantra? Let's have some mantras for offering bhoga. Let me see. Let me pick a nice one. I know Namo Brahmanya Devaya. No, it is that mantra is central. Central in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, when Advaita Acharya, he was the first one to recognize Nimai Pandit as the Supreme Lord. Nimai came to his house, and suddenly Advaita Acharya understood it. And he said, now I know who you are. Now you will not escape me any longer. And he set Nimai down, and he began to offer an arati. And as he offered the arati, he continuously just chanted, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Taya, Chantagati Taya, Krishnaya, Govindaya, Namo Namaha. And he kept on repeating it in hundreds of times. Right? That mantra established Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord. That mantra is the mantra that that must be chanted. So we see that everything is so full of significance. Everything is so related to Lord Chaitanya. That's where the roots are of our Sankirtan movement. And then, of course, we have further roots in the Bhagavatam. And roots with Lord Brahma. But the Sankirtan mission in this form, where the chanting of the holy name becomes predominant, begins with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we see that by the arrangement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to highlight, to accept initiation from Iswarapuri, he himself had to empower the previous generations so that they would be qualified to present that same Siddhanta. And Madhavendapuri displayed those symptoms of love of God. And then Iswarapuri, who became the servant, also displayed symptoms of love of God. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became the disciple of Iswarapuri, And he took the chant to the chanting of the holy name, and we may recall that verse where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes before his spiritual master and says, that what kind of mantra have you given me? What kind of mantra have you given me? This Hare Krishna mantra, this mantra, by chanting it, I've become mad. Oh, his spiritual master said, oh, this is very nice. I'm presenting a problem before my spiritual master. And he says, this is very nice. I've gone mad. Yeah. Oh, you are very fortunate. Yes. So, like this, we're seeing how the disciplic succession became particularly invested with the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and became ready to give birth to his movement. And where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the spiritual master of the three worlds. Once Advaita Acharya was speaking, and at that time his son Achyutananda was a very young boy, 5 years old. And Advaita Acharya started to speak about the sannyas guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kesava Bharati. And he pointed out that he was the guru, the sannyas guru. And immediately Achyutananda, being 5 years old, became extremely upset and said, What are you saying? What are you saying? Are you saying that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a guru? He is the guru of the three worlds. How can you say such a thing, that he has a guru? He who is the guru of all, and that is true. Dhanam tu saksat bhagavat prahitam. True religious principle begins with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we said yesterday, just like Sandipani Muni was like a mountain, and that from the ocean of transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a cloud of knowledge came, and that knowledge became deposited on the mountain of Sandipani Muni, and then came back down in the form of a river of knowledge, which was then absorbed by Krishna and Balaram. But Krishna was the origin, yes. So in the same way, we see how all this is kept intact, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the origin, and yet he has a spiritual master, he has a guru and a param guru. Everything is there, but yet he is the origin. How? The mystery has been unraveled that by Murari Gupta in his diary, that Madhavendra Puri is a Shakti Avesh avatar. Now the stage is being set. The elders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first came from everywhere. For different reasons, with different excuses, they all came to Navadvip for some reason. One was Navadvip, a famous place of learning. Many came from East Bengal, and some said, well, East Bengal is not auspicious because the Pandavas never came here, and that's why we should move to West Bengal. And they went to Navadvip. For different reasons, they all moved to Navadvip. Pundarik, who was such a devotee. Pundarik Vijayaniri, Premniri, the one who was full of love of God. He was there. And all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were now moving to Navadvip. From Silet came Advaita Acharya. Also from that area, a little to the south, came Jagannath Misra with Sachi Mata, and they settled. Also Srivas came from East Bengal, and they all settled in Navadvip. Shivas was practically the neighbor of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. And it is said that Shivas and Malini were so close to Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata that at the time of the delivery of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Malini was assisting. He was assisting with the appearance. And so Shrivas was practically there from the beginning, like so close to the family. So all these relationships were there. All these personalities were there now in Navadvip before Mahaprabhu appeared. And they all forgot their eternal identities. Murari Gupta describes. They all forgot their eternal identities, but somehow or other, they felt naturally drawn to each other. As all of them had deep devotion and deep anticipation in their heart. And gradually, the stage was being set for the appearance of the Lord. And that, of course, remains the theme of our three-day discussion on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because what we're trying to do, we're trying to create an impetus, an udipan. Udipan means impetus, something that, the word dipa means light, right? Something that lights the flame of eagerness in our hearts so that we can appreciate the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For those who were not here yesterday, we mentioned that the appearance day of Lord Nityananda whetted our appetite and got us ready for more, just a taste. So we are adding on to that with these lectures in anticipation of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Of course, although the Krishna Prema was first manifest in Madhavendra Puri, still we see something extraordinary in the nature of Madhavendra Puri, how he doesn't care for anything material, even to keep himself alive. He depends on the Supreme Lord. And we see how he had great ecstasy in his meeting with Lord Nityananda. We see how he was very dutiful. He walked all the way to Puri. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to Mathura, in Mathura he met a brahmana from the Sanodhya community. Actually, what happened was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went for darshan. He went for darshan in Mathura of the Supreme Lord. And as he danced in ecstasy in front of the deity, then he met this brahmana. And this brahmana was also completely ecstatic. And somehow or other, they found each other on a platform of ecstasy. And then sort of after that, when they came down from that platform of ecstatic dancing, then they had a discussion. And in that discussion, it came out that actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a connection with Madhavendra Puri, and that this brahmana was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And it had to be like that. Right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, I could understand there had to be a connection with Madhavendra Puri. When I saw such ecstasy, I could understand there had to be a connection with Madhavendra Puri. Right? So in this way, in our description, we see some of the symptoms of love of God manifesting in Manavendapur. Undoubtedly, it fructified. But still, it remained covered. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jaivadana gives a description, and he says the lotus is gradually opening. Right? Gradually opening. And that is really how Lord Chaitanya's movement is revealing itself. So when Lord Chaitanya came, then the lotus opened more. And as the lotus opened more, Lord Chaitanya began to show more. He began to show much more of those symptoms of love of God. As I mentioned yesterday, the main and principal theme of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is to gradually reveal to us the development of love of God. And first we see, after sannyas, we see our Lord Chaitanya goes preaching in South India, and we see his ecstatic kirtan, and we see how people are just being swept up in that ecstasy, and people become ecstatic, and they make others ecstatic, and whole villages become ecstatic, and it's just a wave of ecstasy. That's how it's described, a wave of ecstasy. It is also described that Lord Chaitanya at that time in South India entered into debate. He debated with many various scholars of different backgrounds, impersonalists, Buddhists, and he defeated them all. In this way, Lord Chaitanya went across South India. Then when he came, then the rainy season started, and he came to Sri Rangam. So it was the practice that sadhus during the rainy season would stay in one place. I think this is a good practice, and I really think that we should start it ourselves, you know. For 4 months, they would just stay in one place. I think I'm going to do it also, all this traveling. Anyway, so for 4 months, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Sri Rangam. One can still go there to Sri Rangam and see the room where he was supposed to have stayed. And there are still deities there of Lord Jagannath who look more like Vishnu. Right? They have forms like, bodies like Vishnu, but then faces sort of reminding of Jagannath. One can find such pictures easily nowadays. Google a little and you'll find it. Jagannath of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Rangam, you'll find. There, Lord Chaitanya entered into a discussion with Venkatabhata. And when he discussed with Venkatabhata, then he said to Venkatabhata, said, "Can I ask a question?" And yes, yes. Said, isn't it that your Lakshmi is known as completely dedicated, completely chaste to the service of the lotus feet of Lord Narayan?" I said, "Oh yes, oh yes. Our Lakshmi is completely dedicated, completely chaste to the lotus feet of Lord Narayan." Then Lord Chaitanya said, "Then why is it that Lakshmi Devi performed austerities to enter into the pastimes of Krishna?" So Venkatabhata sort of looking, this is a naughty question. But his answer was that, no, there is no difference. There is no difference between Narayan and Krishna. Same. So she's very chaste. No difference. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the next question. He said, "Then why is it that although she performed austerities, is it then that she could not enter into the pastimes of Krishna?" Then Venkatabhata said, "The ways of the Lord are mysterious." So, you know, he got stuck there. Right? But then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained about how Lakshmi, in that mood of awe and reverence, did not fit in the mood of Vrindavan, where the love of God and the dedication is presented in a more familiar way, right? Not in a more intimate way, forgetting that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and just treating him like an ordinary person, but with special attention, with special love, but forgetting his position of the Supreme Lord. Just respecting him out of love, not respecting him because he's the Supreme Lord. So then we see that in this discussion with Venkatabhata, the love of God is revealed a little bit more. You see, it's with being now revealed not only in quantity. First, it's in quantity. It's a flood, you know, after sannyas, it's a flood. Flooding South India, flooding kirtans, flooding ecstasy. Everyone's swept up in it, but no one understands the quality. But in that discussion with Venkatabhata, it becomes more qualified. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, shortly after, continues his tour and gets to the end of his tour and meets Ramananda Rai. Then there's a whole discussion and in that discussion, the whole philosophy of different levels of bhakti is discussed. And finally you come to the bhakti of the residents of Vrindavan is the highest, and particularly of the gopis in Vrindavan is the highest. So by then, that bhakti is becoming completely... We get the full theory. Yeah? The circle is round. You know, by the time we get to Ramananda Roy, in the middle of the Madhya Lila, then we have the full theory of that devotional service in our hands. And then shortly after, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returns to Jagannath Puri, and the news is out. And the devotees of Bengal immediately started walking. And they walked fast, and they arrived soon after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. And immediately, it was a big festival. Immediately, there was snanyata, and it was ecstatic. Immediately, the devotees performed Prem Sankirtan, ecstatic kirtan full of prem and love that attracted people, came running from everywhere to see it. And then it's all leading up, these ecstatic kirtans, this snanyatra, up to the big event, Ratiyatra. And during that event, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing that mood of separation, the same mood of Madhavendra Puri. But now it's much more revealed, much more explained, much more clear. Now we understand it much better. Right? And now he shows it in his mood, in Ratiyatra. And he just calls out, Jaga, Jaga, Jaga. He cannot even speak. And he recites mantras, remembering Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan, who plays the fifth note. And he's remembering this Krishna, and he's desiring to take Krishna back. Of course, we know these things. These things are not like... these are open secrets in our movement. These are things we've heard so many times, open secrets. But these are not just common stories, you know, oh yeah, the Ratiyatra story. Yeah, I know the Ratiyatra story, you know what I mean? The gopis took the reins of the chariot, tried to pull Krishna back. Yes, to Vrindavan. Yeah, we know that, heard it hundreds of times. Some swamis do it really well, full color, and like, you know, lots of drama, and, you know, I mean, really, you know. I like Radha Maharaj's version because it's very dramatic, or Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj does this one also very nice with his British accent. In this way, we may appreciate. But let us just understand, this is the greatest secret. This is the greatest secret. This is revealing something about the quality of love of God that we never understood. And then this whole mood of separation and so on. I mean, what is that anyway, separation? I mean, how can separation be the topmost experience, really? I mean, isn't it like separation as the topmost experience of anticipation, and then reunion even? That's the moment of the great happiness. Isn't it generally how we would think? So this mood of separation, so difficult to understand, such a mystery, so complex actually. And now the time for today has passed, and now that mood, that we'll have to just leave it, and just sleep the night if we can, waiting to know more, and wait 24 full hours tomorrow at 6:25, 5 minutes before the end of the talk, when finally that will be addressed. Now we will just stay with the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared to give us that. And now I will not even take questions. Why would I? I'll just keep on talking. Is there a law that you have to take questions? No. We just now look at ourselves, right? At our own miserable, miserly condition. Oh yes, we know everything. That which was unknown before, we know it. We know so much about it. But yes, Krishna praying, sure, we can explain it to you. But and we want it. Oh yes. Want some Krishna praying? Yes. I want it. All right, chant Hare Krishna. Oh, do I have to? Yeah, really? Okay. And then, yes, all that we offer are broken names. Broken names. We want love of God, but we don't want to pay the price. We want it for free. Can I get it for free? Then I have to pay. Have to pay by chanting. Can I get it for free? Almost free. but yes, chanting is required. So this chanting is really, it is the key. It is Nam Sankirtan, where it all begins. Where it ends, it is sadhya, it is sadhana and sadhya. It is the practice and it is the goal. Or as Prabhupada said, from chanting comes more chanting. So that's what you get. You chant, and then as a reward, you get more chanting. And then you chant more. And then, you know, you thought you might be finished at 16 rounds. I got news for you. It goes on eternally. So with that, we will start tomorrow with Nam Sankirtan, our final day. And you are certainly invited to return if you wish and if you can. Thank you very much. Shri Bhagavad ki jai. Shri Shri Panchatattva ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita.